You go to the doctor, and the doctor says to you in the quietness of his own mind, this person has a pretty bad disease, but you know what? I want them to feel good, so I'm going to tell them what they want to hear rather than what they need to hear. Would not such a doctor lose their license to practice? Would not such a doctor be considered a quack? And yet, in the world of the church, this is normal today. The whole name of the game is to tell people what they want to hear. And if your pastor or my pastor is not telling me what I want to hear, then there's a church down the street that will. This is exactly what Paul said is going to happen in the last days. The introductory thought is men will become lovers of self. The concluding thought is rather than lovers of God, lovers of self rather than lovers of God. And everything in between, 2 Timothy 3, 2 and 4, is a description of what happens to people when they become lovers of self rather than lovers of God. They become lovers of money, boastful, proud, arrogant, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unloving, unholy, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, and pleasure lovers. And I used to think, yeah, you know, the world's pretty bad. Beloved, this prophecy is not about the world. This is a pastoral letter written to a pastor. It's a description of what is happening in the last days to God's church. It is a prophecy that is happening right before our very eyes. So, consequently, perilous times will come. For who? Perilous for who? For the man of God. Or the woman of God. That wants to stand for the truths of God. That's who it gets hard for. Because you find yourself fighting against your own church. Fighting uphill constantly. And you'll notice that in all of these contexts, the focus is how hard it gets for the God lover. After that terrible description, what does Paul say in 2 Timothy 4, verse 5? But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions. Timothy, it's going to get hard for you. Remember, we studied evil men and imposters will wax worse and worse. What's the verse right before it? 2 Timothy 3:12. Yes, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You know, in our American Christian bookstores, we have these little booklets that are the promises from God. And I like them. They're usually very positive promises. God will provide. God will guide. Those types of things. But I never see this promise in those little booklets. Here it is. All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That's a promise. The thing I love about the Bible is it's not a cheap salesman routine on the front end to just get us to make a down payment. It tells us right out of the gate what's going to happen and what we're in store for if we get serious about this thing called Christianity, especially as the church moves into apostasy in the last days. Life gets difficult for the man or woman of God. Swimming upstream, spitting into the wind is hard. And yet when it comes, we're always so shocked. And yet it's all laid out here as we study these prophecies of apostasy. Number 10, and with this we're finished. Apostasy impacts those who have not taken preventive measures against it. The Bible never tells us the apostasy can be stopped. It never says, do these three things and you can stop the apostasy. It simply presents it as a reality that's coming. I don't have any control over the apostasy. What I can control is my reaction to the apostasy. That's the only thing I have control over. And I want you to picture yourself in a river that's fairly shallow, maybe 5 feet deep, and yet it has this very powerful current that's pulling you downstream. Maybe you're swimming, maybe you're in some kind of inner tube, but if you just sit there passively and don't do anything, guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to get pulled downstream along with everybody else. Well, what if you don't want to get pulled downstream? What do then? You have to be active. You have to do something. You have to start paddling. Or if you're tall enough like myself, maybe you can brace your feet at the bottom and stop the momentum. You have to call for help. If you just sit there and do nothing, you're just going to get dragged along. And you see, that's a pretty good imagery of apostasy. Apostasy is coming. It's strengthening. It's a prediction of the last days. And if we just sit there passively and do nothing, we just get carried along like everybody else. So we have to be active at some point. Now you say, well, how do I do that? Here's how you do it. Every time you see a command in the Bible, you obey it. In Greek, these are called imperatives. Commands. The Bible is full of them. Examples. Study God's Word. Study and show yourself approved as a workman who need not be ashamed but accurately handles the Word of Truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. Just showing up at a conference like this is a preventive measure you're taking. And many of you have expressed that to me in private conversation, that you're being fortified through these sessions to stick to leave this camp and stand against the incredible wave of apostasy that I'm sadly hearing is happening in so many Australian churches. And I can assure you, apostasy, Australia has no monopoly on apostasy. The American church is going the exact same direction. Oh, there's always a few bright spots. But we're all being pulled in this direction. Another command, test all things. Do you do that? If I'm up here talking, do you say, well, is that in the Bible? Or do you just passively absorb everything that's said because I'm doing it from behind a pulpit? It's amazing to me how many people will sit in a church and they won't screen anything that they're told. Renew your mind, Romans 12:2. That's happening now, I believe. Put on the armor of God, Ephesians 6:11. Jude 3, earnestly contend for the faith. Because the faith is under attack. Who's attacking it? In most cases, many times it's the institutional church, because it's coming from within. The History Channel, A&E, Mysteries of the Bible, what are they saying? Jesus is not a historical figure. The resurrection never happened. Everything came about by random chance. The Bible has contradictions in it. When your children or grandchildren come to you with those questions that they've heard from TV, are you equipped to give them answers? Have you followed that command to study and show yourself approved? That would be an example of how you can keep yourself out. We can keep ourselves out of the apostasy. So in a conference dealing with prophecy, we can't leave out apostasy, can we? It's a sign of the last days. It's a massive New Testament subject. It impacts every major doctrine. It's primarily internal. It knows no limits. It can happen quickly. It's satanically energized. It's destructive. It makes life difficult for the man of God. And it impacts those who have not taken preventative measures against it. Shall we pray? Father, we're grateful for the truth of your word, and it tells us very clearly what's happening today. Make us people, Father, as you equip us in this conference, that can stand for the truths of your word in these last days. We'll be careful to give you all the praise and the glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and God's people said, Amen.